Is anybody excited to be alive today? Come on, man. I came up to Tauranga. The sun was out. Now it's raining again. I feel like that's my fault. I feel like I brought it up from Wellington. But it's good to be here today. And who loves your youth pastors, man? Anybody grateful for you? Come on, can we honor our youth pastors today? Giving us this, come on, you can do better than that. Can we honor our youth pastors today for giving us the space? And hey, before I get started, I want to honor a couple of other people just because I think honor is really important. The Bible says to honor where honor is due. And honor, I believe, because in the original Greek, honor means to value. And where you place value, there miracles are released and blessings are open. And I just want to honor your senior pastors for having us here. Both my wife and I are here ministering to your kids. Not your kids, I hope. The kids of the church. And it's just so awesome to be here. We've been so well looked after. Can we thank your senior pastors for running this conference. I am here from Wellington. I'm a pastor at Arise Church, and my senior pastors, Pastor John and Gillian Cameron, send their love, and I'm super grateful for them. Wouldn't be here today without them. And look, honestly, it still smells so bad in here. We're going to have to fight through that. And my guy who loves the sardines, bro, I'll pay for your counseling, brother, because that was like, that's full on. Where are you at the back? He's still smiling. He's like, can I have some more? Like, he's like, chill out, bro. Let's go. My wife is here with me, and I bought some photos. Can I show you some photos of my wife? Would that be okay? Could I just brag, flex on you for a second? Is that all right? This is what you should be aiming for. Bang! There she is. Yeah, yeah. We got married in Tauranga, actually. She grew up here in the playground is where she spent my... Whoa, there she is. Glitch effect, y'all. How good. There it is. Okay, back. And she's amazing. I shouldn't say that, should I? That's bad. I shouldn't say that. Can you calm down, Josh? Okay. This is my... No. It's just because he's telling me to say things I shouldn't say. This is my wife. We've been married for just over a year now, this is a photo of us as well. I've got another photo here to show with you. This is actually just before I threw her through a table, WWE styles, and I didn't do that. Come on, man, this is a youth session. I didn't realize we were like with the boring people today. I was like, oh, you can't throw her through a table. No, yet. Yes, I can. No, I can't. And you shouldn't either. That's one way to go to jail. This is us, and look, she's amazing. I'm just honored to be here today. And I hope you take your notes today, by the way, because studies show that if you take notes, you're going to get into heaven. It's like a fast pass at Disneyland. You just show God all your notes. Nah, jokes. That's not biblical. Again, Josh, if you could just hold back for a second, so that'd be good. But take notes today. You can use your smartphone, your dumb phone, whatever you've got. You can use that, or, you know, like your maths book, whatever's here today. Literally, I said that one time, and some kid pulled out their maths book at youth. I was like, my guy, algebra and God's word. Let's go. It's a good combo. But you can write this down, bitten, but not beaten. Bitten, but not beaten. I want to take the next couple of minutes, they're going quickly. I want to take the next couple of minutes just to share with you a thought about how in life, we all go through things. We all get bitten by things. Things are going to hurt, life is going to happen, but just because you're bitten doesn't mean you need to be beaten by it. Just because you have situations and circumstances that we all go through doesn't mean you have to be beaten. And today I want to talk to you about the redeeming power of the cross, and I want to help you today to leave this place different from the way you came in. Who would like to do that? Who would like to do that at conference? Three people. Man, I'm so glad that I'm preaching to all three of you. Man, how good. Let's go. We're going to have a good time. Let's pray and get started. Jesus, help me. Amen. That's a short prayer. You just get it done. I'm running out of time, man. We just got to get on with this thing. Let's go. Boats, B-O-A-T-S, boats. I don't know how you feel about boats. I know that you're from Tauranga, so everybody here probably has a boat or knows someone with a boat or knows someone with a goat, either way. But I don't really trust boats at all, okay? Now, like, here's my reasoning. Now, I know you're still in school, so you probably got scientific answers, but I don't care about your science, man. I don't trust boats at all. No way. Like, how does something so big not sink? Like, bro, I jump. Thank you. Get a witness. Holla. I don't know how you swim, but when I swim, I drown. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go in the pool and I'm not a big dude. Like, I got muscles under here. Tiny ones. But they're there. And I jump in the pool and I drown. Like, some people do freestyle. I just do, like, save me, please. You know, like. I don't understand. Like this one time, I was on a boat with my family, and in Wellington, you got to understand that if you want to get somewhere for cheap, you jump on the Inter-Islander and you sail to the other side. And it, sorry. Okay. I jumped on this boat with my family, and like I don't know what storms are like here, but in Wellington, like storms happen all the time. And the thing about Wellington is it's called the Windy City, the Windy City, and it's not just a pretty name, the Windy City. No, it's like the Windy City, okay? And it's no good. It's no good. The wind, like, and if it rains, now you've got like normal rain comes down. You know, like there's that song, raindrops keep falling on my head. No, raindrops are poking me in the eyes. Like it's. Like in a storm in Wellington, the rain goes horizontal and it attacks you. It's like kamikaze rain, you know. Like no good, man. And we were in the storm in Wellington going across the Cook Strait on the Inter-Islander. And the boat was going this way and the wind and the rain were going this way. The boat was going this way, the wind and the rain were going this way. And so we were like, man, we need to get outside and have some fresh air. Because on the boat, it smells like it's smelt in here with the sardines and raw egg combination. No good. So we were on the boat and my family, we decided to go out to the observation deck on the side of the boat so we could just get some fresh air. And outside on the side of the boat was going this way, the wind and the rain were going this way. And we were out on the boat. It was me, my brother, my sister, my dad. Me, my brother, my sister, my dad. We were out there on the boat. I've got to go quickly. I've run out of time. So we were on the boat, and it's like, it's a storm, though, you know? So we're like on the boat. So we're just out here, you know, just chilling. And we're like, woo! You know? And we were out there. It was me, my brother, my sister, my dad, and we were just loving it. You know? Like, and I was having the time of my life. And I've got to stop singing. Just get on with it. He brought me here to preach. I apologize. Not sing. Okay. Although we could. And I noticed my brother, he started to turn a different color. See, my family, like, were very white. And that's okay, that's okay. No shame on that. And so we're very white. And he went from being very white to very green. It's very easy to tell when a white person is sick. Very green. So he's changing color. And as he begins to get spewy, it comes out of his mouth, and remember, the boat is going this way, and the wind and the rain are going this way, and so it comes out of his mouth, and then gets picked up immediately by the rain and the wind, and now it's kamikaze spew, and it's coming for you. No, it's coming for my sister. How good. My sister's like, I'm having a great time. That's how all girls speak, and so she was, just relax, everybody, okay, and so she's like, I'm having a great time. And as she spins around, the spew then fills her mouth. It goes into her stomach. And now it's all mixing up, you know, like one of those things, like a Nutribullet all up inside of her. She's like, you know, like, and it's just churning up on the inside. And so now she's gone like it's spew times two, you know, like it comes out. And because the boat's going this way and the wind is going this way, the spew gets carried by the wind. And now it's heading for my dad. But my dad, he's a ninja, bro, straight up, let's go. And he's like, just calm down, bro, like chill, it's a story. And so he's like, out of nowhere, he's like, he just feels it. It's like spider senses are tingling, you know, which is not a ninja, two analogies, just stick to one. And so he's like, oh my gosh, here it is, boom. And he like matrixes it, and it goes over, and as he matrixes it, stay in school, kids. Okay, so it goes over him, and next to him, I don't know why she was there in the middle of a storm. An old lady in a wheelchair is like, I'm having a great time. You know, it's like, the spew now travels and covers her face, her body. No good. Don't like boats, man. No good. Now, in the Bible, Paul, watch the segue, Paul, he goes through something very similar, but his boat doesn't make it. He gets shipwrecked, and today, I want to look at this. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verse 1 to 6, and it's going to come up on the screen. Here it is. I'm going to read it on the screen. Woo! Okay, breathe. Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Maltesers. No, the island of Malta. Stay biblical. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live.
But Paul, what, this is crazy. Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people, remember, who were nice people, they waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. So kind, you know. When they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Man, what a here's the bad guy, here's the good guy, here's a god, you know, like, this is a crazy story because Paul, he finds himself on this island and he finds himself in this position that he wasn't expecting himself to be in. I don't know if you've ever felt like that before, where you find yourself in a position where you never expected to be. And the people on the island, they welcomed him and they built a fire. I need my guy here. Could you help me out? Could you bring it? And I just need you to stand with this for the entire message, but spin it so that it's like this way. Stand with it like this. Is that okay? Just stand. Yeah, just stay. Ow, chose the right guy. Okay, now, Flex, are you single? Yeah. Ladies, take notes on the message, on the message. So the Bible says the people of the... I just need to relax, eh? Yeah, you're like, well, why did this guy come here? You know, bring back the other guy. He was holy. He had cool stories. As he was building the fire, the Bible says that he takes up some sticks, puts them on the fire, and out of the fire jumps a snake. Oh, we're going to kids' church today. Let's go. And the snake, the Bible says, bites him on the hand. It bites him and latches onto his hand. And everybody's like, oh, he's going to swell up and die. Oh, this guy's dead, man. He's cooked. And what he does is instead of dying, what does he do? The Bible says he shakes off the snake back into the fire and the snake dies. This is a crazy story. A snake jumps out, bites him on the hand, and the people all around him, because he's bitten, think he's going to be beaten by what bit him. I don't know about you, but I've been through a lot in my life. I've got a past. I got a story. We all have one. And in life, we're all going to go through things. We're all going to face attacks. We're all going to face bites. And the reality is that there's always bullying around. Like, I don't know if you're like some of my intermediate crew here, maybe at school you're getting bullied, and then when you go to year 9, you'll get bullied again, and year 10, you'll get bullied again, and in year 11, you'll become the bully. It's a vicious cycle. Maybe you're here and you've been bitten by comparison, or maybe you didn't pass the test that you were hoping to pass, or maybe you have anger issues, or maybe it's just the fact that your sister keeps kicking you in the throat. I don't know what attack you keep getting, but I want you to know that whatever's been biting you in your life, you don't have to be bitten by it. Paul shows us here that we don't have to be defeated by what comes against us in our lives. We can actually do something different. We can be bitten, but overcome. We can shake off the attack of the enemy and we can live victorious. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. See, the reality is, though, is it's important to understand that we're in a battle. We're in a battle between not flesh and blood, not like at school where a fight breaks out and everyone's like, fight, 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 let's go. Teacher, you know, like, it's not like that fight. The Bible says it's a fight of spirit and principalities. And in this fight, there's a good team and a bad team. I'm just make it real basic for you today. That the good team is captained by a guy named Jesus, my guy. And the bad team is captained by a guy named the devil. And the Bible says this in John 10:10. In the Passion Translation, it'll come up on the screen. It says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come, this is Jesus speaking, not Harry Slade, praise God. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. See, Jesus is saying to us here today, guys, that if you follow Jesus, if you follow me, I will give you life and life in all its fullness. But the devil's here to do one job. What is the job? To steal your joy, to slaughter your hope, and to destroy your destiny. And he does that through a variety of ways, a variety of snake bites that come against us. I was interested to note, though, where he gets bitten. Like, he doesn't get bitten into clubs. He doesn't get bitten hanging out with his mates. Where does he get bitten? He gets bitten when he's stoking the what? Oh, come on now. Don't go dead on me. I don't have the anointing of James. I can't pray for you if you die. You know what I mean? Like, I probably could. We could try it. I don't, like, let's not, though. Where does he get bitten? When he's stoking the?
Fire.
Thank you. Say it again.
Fire.
Fire. When he's stoking the fire. See, my guy. See, I want you to understand when he's stoking the fire, what the Bible's saying is that fire represents the presence of God. It represents the very presence of God. It's the same fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness at night, the pillar of fire. It's the same fire that fell on the early church and gave them the gift of tongues and interpretation of knowledge. And it's the same fire that he was stoking right here. I need you to understand that it's as you stoke the presence of God in your life that the devil's going to attack you. It's as you try and build your relationship with God that the enemy will try and stop you. This is not a new thing, guys. Like if you read your Bible in the very beginning, the very first attack on mankind came in the form of a snake. The Bible says that the snake came up to Adam and Eve in the garden and what did he do? He attacked their relationship with God. God gave them an instruction, and like any obeying children, they were obeying the instruction through the relationship that they had with the Father. But the devil came and said, hey, did God really say that? Did God really tell you not to do, like, I think God's trying to hold something back. He attacked the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. And because of that, that then entered in with us into the fall. Sin came into the world. And now because of that moment with the snake, sin is in the world. And because of that, the distance between us and God was magnified. But I'm so grateful for a God that didn't leave us behind. He had a plan, and his plan was Jesus. And Jesus came. I know you know, but let me preach excited for a second. I just need you to know that Jesus came, died on that cross, bridging earth and heaven, bridging normality and eternity forever. So that now whoever believes in Jesus in their heart and confesses with their mouth can experience that life and life in all its fullness. I'm preaching so excited, and you're just listening. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise for the life that he's given you. It's amazing. Jesus paid the price of death forever. And that's the reason why Paul could shake off the snake. It's the reason why he could be bitten but not beaten. Because he had a relationship with Jesus that was so strong. And it's the exact same for us. If you're writing notes, write this down. When our relationship with Jesus is strong, it makes the attack of the enemy weak. I'm going to say it again for the people at the back. Here we go. When our relationship with Jesus is strong, it makes the attack of the enemy weak. That's why we shouldn't be surprised that it's hard to build a relationship with Jesus. Like, I don't know if you've ever noticed, like, but when you go to read your Bible and then Instagram is right there too, and you're like, oh yeah, a verse, heaps of Instagram, did my Bible. Or maybe, I don't know if you've ever tried to wake up early in the morning and spend time with God, but how hard is it to just get up ever, you know, like, especially to spend time with God. It's so hard. It's so hard to come to church and stay awake. It's so hard to invite people to come with you. It's so hard to stay focused in a message. But let me tell you this, the reason why is because the devil understands the power of a relationship with Jesus. Could I put it to you today that the devil understands it better than we do? The devil knows. I've preached so many times in kids' church, the devil's an idiot. You know, like he's just a dumb snake. Woo, you know? But he's actually aware. He knows. He knows that if he can get you disengaged with Jesus, he can get you beaten. He knows that if your relationship with Jesus is strong, then his attack is weak and that he's got nothing on Jesus. I reckon that maybe the keys could come and join me. It would be amazing. I reckon that one of the biggest snake attacks that we face in our world right now is this word. And you should write it down. It's comparison. Comparison. It's one of the biggest, like we grew up as youth and young people, we grew up in a world that compares everything. Like think about it. What's wrong with the iPhone XR? Nothing. They bring out an iPhone, like what number are we at now? 11,000? You know, like chill out. And the only difference is that, to you too. The only difference is that it has three cameras at the back. That's it. And maybe a faster, longer lasting battery. But we're taught that if we don't have that one thing, then we're not as good as someone else who does. We live in a world with fast cars and money, and we're just taught to compare all the time. But I want to suggest to you today that comparison is dangerous. I don't know if you guys can hear that buzz, but it's very distracting in my ears. Comparison is dangerous because it cripples us. You all have a unique mark on your life. By God, from God. When we compare, what we do is we lower the perfection of Christ to the image of a man or a woman. Every guy in this room needs to know that you're already good enough. You don't need bigger muscles. You don't need to live in a better place. You don't need more money to do something great with your world. You're already enough as you are. God says you are a warrior. You are a conqueror. You are more than conquerors. Every girl in the room needs to know that you are more precious than every diamond and ruby on the face of this earth. You are beautiful in God's eyes. You are enough. You don't need a guy in your life to satisfy the thirst, to satisfy the hunger that you have. You don't need no man. It's not good for us to be alone, and in God's right timing, you'll meet someone who's right for you, but don't give your body away before it's the right time. Listen, 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 listen. If you do that, you're succumbing to a bite. Comparison. It cripples us from moving forward into the destiny that God has for us. Comparison, snake bites. You know what's amazing is that in our story, that's exactly what happened to Paul. After he shook the snake attack off of his life, after he was like, I'm a conqueror. Up. Thank you. After he shook off that attack, after he overcame, do you know what they said? Surely this man is a God. Surely this man is a God. I imagine Paul, you can actually thank. Can we give it up for this guy? He's a man. He's a man. I've never done it like that before, but I really enjoyed it. I imagine Paul, the humble skucks. He just hears, he's like, me a God? No, but I know a God. I know the God. I know the beginning, the middle, and the end. I know the Alpha and the Omega. I know the healer. I know the way maker. I know the one who is my promise, the one who is my hope. And with him on the inside of me, I'm no God, but I have a relationship with someone who can help. I just imagine that in that moment, Paul, instead of being crippled by comparison, was powered by Christ. Instead of being crippled by the things people were saying about him, he said, no, I'm powered by Christ. And that's why the devil attacks our fire, guys. That's why it's hard to be a Christian today. I don't want to get up here and tell you it's easy. It's hard because we're saying no to the world and we're saying yes to the Word of God. We're turning away from the things that our friends at school are saying and doing. We're turning away from gossip. We're turning away from comparison. We're turning away from anxiety and depression. We're turning away from suicide. We're turning away from negative thinking, from negative emotions. And we're facing Jesus and we're saying, I'm different. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. The devil knows the power of a relationship with Christ. And I'm here to ask you today, do you? Do you know the power that you can have through a relationship with Christ? I just want us to stand here today. I feel the presence of God. He's here today right now. And it's funny because we're in the side room and there's no major lights. There's no massive PA system. It's just me, you, and God. And in this moment, he is here. I just want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. We're going to turn off the lights just to make it a private moment between us and God, because I know that even now we're starting to compare ourselves with the person on the left and on the right. I want to get rid of every opportunity for you to do that. So we're going to turn off the lights, and I just want you to ask yourself this. Ask yourself this. Don't look at me. I've got nothing left, but look at God today. Maybe you've been bullied. Well, today it's time to declare I may have been bitten, but I am not beaten. Maybe you've been struggling with comparison. Today it's time to declare, I may have been bitten, but I am not beaten. Maybe you've had some words spoken out against you. Today it's time to declare, I may have been bitten, but I am not beaten. You might be struggling with suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety. Today it's time to declare that although I may have been bitten, I am not beaten. Why? Because Christ beats within me. I may have been bitten by life, but I am not beaten because Christ beats within me. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I just want to open up the front like James did, Pastor James, and I want you to be bold and courageous and step out of your seat today. I want to pray for you because you might be here, and the reason why you have been beaten by that bite is because you don't have the fire of God burning on the inside of you. You don't have the fire. Well, today I can tell you this, just like in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting at prison's conference. We're all here in one place. And suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them that ability. Listen, you're not going to walk out of here with an Australian accent. But you are going to walk out of here with the fire of God on your life. And we'll push back the chairs. We can get rid of the iPad because there's nothing else good on there. But I just want to ask you this question. Do you want the fire of God in your life? Do you want the fire of God in your life? Do you want to overcome? Do you want to leave this room anointed and appointed to change your world for Jesus? If that's you, just come out of your seat right now. Take a bold step. Look, it only takes one person. Yeah, come. It only takes one person to say, I'm changing New Zealand forever. It only takes one person to say, I'm leaving where I am right now and I'm coming to the front. Just keep coming. I reckon, I'll be honest with you. I reckon there's people here right now going, I can't do that. I can't step out because of my past. Listen, I just got a word prophesied over me that my past is done. It's done. The whiteboard is wiped clean. When Jesus died on that cross for you, he wiped out your sin. He wiped out your shame. He wiped out everything that was evil and gives you hope for a new life. I just want you to step out of your seat right now. Step out of your seat. Come down the front. If that's you, I'll wait. I reckon we just need a moment. Just close your eyes. Everybody's looking at me. I've got nothing left, but Jesus has got everything. Come down. That's awesome. Keep coming. Come down here. I'm taking it if you're staying in your seat that you've got the fire burning real hard right now. I take it that you're not facing any problems. I take it that you're all sorted. And if that's you, that's amazing. Maybe I came with the wrong message to this conference. I just feel like there's maybe another 40 people that just need to step out of your seat and come down right now. Amazing. Come on, I feel like we just need to give God praise in advance. Clap your hands and thank Jesus in advance for what he's about to do in your life. It's amazing. Amazing. Okay, close your eyes if you're down the front. Just close your eyes. I'm going to come and I'm going to lay hands on you. I'm just going to believe that the fire of God that's on my life is going to change your life forever. In a hot, sweaty, sardine-smelling room, we're going to have our lives changed forever. We're going to leave this place different from the way we came in. Why? Because Christ beats on the inside of me and I am filled with the fire of God. I know I said no singers, but it'd be awesome if we had a singer because there's a lot of people. I'm going to take a little bit of time. Do you want to just sing? Whatever you're playing, you just sing it and it's going to be amazing. Hey, down the front, if you're down the front, I just want you to close your eyes and use the gift God gave you. Use that gift of imagination and picture whatever that snake is that's been biting you and you just leave it at the fire. In this moment.